here on KGYM. Coming up, we will preview the World Series for you. Game one coming up tonight for you here on KGYM. The LA Dodgers hosting the Houston Astros in red-hot Los Angeles. And we will kick that around a little bit. The media, a topic, a conversation today, both in Ames and Iowa City, as Kirk Ferentz met the media. And we will talk about that on the program. Kevin Lehman will join us from Big 12 Basketball Media Days. And we will talk some hoops with him about the four schools here in the state of Iowa, as well as the Big 10, Big 12, and Missouri Valley. All that coming up here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. Well, I hope you enjoyed fall. We don't get much spring. We go right into summer. We don't get much fall. We go kind of right into winter. How you doing? Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM. 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Along with our producer, Kyle Mann. Both on the other side of the glass and working hard to get the cuts ready to go for Iowa football today. We will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Should mention right away at the start of the show our apologies and Cal's apologies as well, but he was called into a last-second meeting that the Kansas City Royals called him into, and he apologizes. He will not be able to talk to us today, but it looks like he will be able to talk with us coming up on Thursday. So we'll have two games of the World Series in the books by then, but it'll still be fresh in everyone's mind as the Dodgers and the Astros go out of here tonight. But when you got to do when the big boss calls, you got to do what the big boss says, and that is what Cal is doing. So we understand. We're apologetic, but we do understand his predicament, and he will be on Thursday. So there you go.
Is it the big boss of the Kansas City Royals or St. Louis Cardinals?
What are you saying, man?
Well, there's published reports, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, among others, saying that Cal Eldred is a candidate for the St. Louis Cardinals pitching coach.
Well, this is the Royals. He's still a member of the Kansas City Royals right now.
I'm taking the story a step further, according to published reports. That he is a candidate for the Cardinals pitching job, pitching coach.
I believe that.
And the Cardinals are saying they want to fill that position by the end of the month. There's a week left in this month. Jim Hickey is very much a big target of the Cardinals, among other teams, Chicago Cubs. He has a relationship with Joe Maddon. And Cardinals AAA pitching coach Brian Eversgard has also been spoken of as a possible replacement Derek Lilliquist as the Cardinals' pitching coach. So nothing concrete, just reiterating published reports, St. Louis Dispatch on that story a couple, 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
There's a lot of published reports today. We'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit as we come your way. Man alive! It's a wind chill today, Mark Dukes. I woke up, yeah. And it was a wind chill of 33 degrees today. That's not good for, what, October 24th? I think our good run of weather for football Friday nights is going to come to an abrupt halt.
That could very well happen. I mean, it also means an Indian summer, perhaps, after the first freeze, right? That often happens.
Could happen.
But it's not going to arrive in time for Friday, I don't
no.
think.
Temperature in the 40s for those first-round playoff games coming up this Friday night. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. 319-366-1600. If you want to comment on the Hurtina Stocker text line here today, plenty to get to. Let's start in Iowa City today. Let's do that. Let's backtrack. Let's go to Iowa City today. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media just a little bit ago. We will hear cuts coming up here, if not at the end of our show, definitely during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn as Kyle gets those ready to go. But injury front, Josie Jewell is back practicing. James Butler is practicing, but is probably iffy for the game coming up against Minnesota on Saturday. Sounds like Brandon Snyder is out again for the game coming up on Saturday. So I think that is one more. Boone Myers looks like the news is not good. Kirk Ferentz kind of hinting around today that Boone Myers might be out the rest of the regular season. Certainly that's not good news for an offense that needs to get off the schneid right now.
Not at all. Already lost Ike Butker at the beginning of the season, and so swiftly using the majority of those players that won the award for the best offensive line. Now, I have to go back and look. It isn't necessarily the best offensive line that Iowa's voted. A lot of things went into it, overcoming adversity and this and that. But nevertheless, the Iowa line did win that award last year, and they're quickly falling, that group that won that award last year.
Yeah, and not going to get any better with Boone Myers out of there. So that is the off-the-field news, or the on-the-field news. All the uniform devotees out there, sounds like there will not be an alternate uniform for this week's Iowa-Minnesota game, but it sounds like it could happen during the blackout game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Stay tuned for that. That will either be an 11 o'clock start or a 2:30 kickoff as well. Iowa-Ohio State will not be a night game at Kinnick Stadium for that one coming up a week from Saturday. So make plans, as they say, out there. And the one thing today, not so much, it was brought up yesterday during Matt Campbell's news conference in Ames. There's still fallout going out. The media is in the spotlight. The media is in the bullseye today, Mark, if you will. A few Iowa players mentioning the fact that they're trying to tune out outside noise right now. Outside noise seemed to be the catchword of the day today because they're talking about the media. They're talking about us. They're talking about you. They're talking about me. They're talking about our staff. They're talking about newspaper people. They're talking about TV people. They're talking about people on the internet right now and the websites, what have you. We're all lumped together in this little drama. But when things don't go well, it's kind of a trickle-down effect. Things don't go down on the field very well. People start talking about it. Then we have to start talking about it. And by the time it's all said and done, unless things improve on the field, it's only going to get worse and worse. So you have that going on in Iowa City today, trying to block out the outside noise. Then in Ames, you've got the same situation, but degrees off of it a little bit because things are going well. But now Kirk Herbstreit has doubled down a little bit, saying that, yeah, Matt Campbell is the guy. He's being looked at by several universities out there. Add Ole Miss to the fire, by the way, in there. They don't have a coach right now, a permanent coach, after Hugh Freeze was let go down by Ole Miss. But there are several prominent jobs out there. And Kirk Herbstreit, again, from ESPN, who's a very knowledgeable, very reputable guy, saying that Matt Campbell is going to be one of the top guys that people are going to go after. I don't think that's a big shocker out there. Now, Jamie Pollard's mad at the media because, of course, the media, what are they going to talk about? It's the first thing we thought of when Iowa State, we saw Iowa State getting better and better and better. If it wasn't us, it was going to be somebody else out there. Mm-hmm. It was going to be national media. It's going to be football aficionados everywhere. Matt Campbell is not going to be a secret for very long, and he's not anymore. It's a compliment, but Jamie Pollard's not too happy.
This kind of thing comes with success. Matt Campbell is not alone in this regard. And I think it's wise for him to tune out the noise, so to speak. He's already heard it, but should that be his focus this week? No. I mean, this swirls around every successful coach. I remember back covering Iowa football, Hayden Fry, I think it was at the second Rose Bowl in 85 or something.
Yep.
The USC job open. And we had
he was gone.
We had to drop everything and follow that story. Kirk Ferentz has been through it. Any successful coach is going to go through this. And I'd say, once again, it's wise for Matt Campbell to really put the focus on what it should be, and that would be TCU this week. In terms of Iowa, I mean, I don't see any really vitriolic type approaches by anyone in the media. Maybe I'm missing something. Nobody really ripping apart the Iowa program.
No.
Just basically trying to break it down and criticize It's pretty simple to point where the issues are with this Iowa football team. And it starts probably with the running game. And there's other aspects of it as well, but this is also part of sports. When you're 4-3, you lose three close games, especially one on the road to Northwestern that you probably think you should have won. This comes with the territory. And I've always said that I think college kids ought to be approached a bit differently by the media than professional athletes, so to speak. But at the same token, athletes have to take the good with the bad. You score three touchdowns in a game and the media is going to sing your praises and give you banner headlines and lead stories in the news. Things aren't going so well. You've got to accept that, too, in my mind.
What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. And this is not something new. This is an age-old argument. There are a lot of people around these parts saying that the media is not as tough on whatever football team, whatever basketball team, because, you know, we're kind of, to put it in layman's terms, Midwest nice a little bit. If this was New York, if this was Philadelphia, if this was Los Angeles, but especially the East Coast, you can say the Iowa offense would be getting a little bit more heat than it is right now.
I'm pretty removed from my experiences of covering Iowa football from day to day, but in my dozen years of doing so, I think there probably was at any one given time maybe five or six members of the media who had the ability and the guts to ask a tough question of Hayden Fry or Bump Elliott or a player, Ronnie Harmon. Where'd you get that scooter and the chains around your neck, Ronnie? And that's maybe not a bad thing. There's a lot of cheerleaders in the Iowa media during the days I covered them. I don't know what it's like now. I would hope there's, reporters out there who wouldn't be afraid to ask Kirk Ferentz today. I don't know whether it was asked or not. How's Brian Ferentz doing as offensive coordinator? You should be able to ask that question.
No, I agree.
I don't care if he's your son or not. People ask that of Ken O'Keefe. Ask that of Greg Davis, certainly. So why not Brian Ferentz? I'm not saying no. Maybe somebody did ask that today. I don't know. But those are questions that need to be asked.
319-366-1600, and then a Jamie Pollard situation. Like we said, it's a different angle on it, but it's the same thing. I've said it, even before Kirk Herbstreit said it, that people are going to come sniffing after Matt Campbell. And that's not a real big secret, I don't think, at this point, that there are some universities, and they're going to be – you have the success that Iowa State is having right now, you're going to be – you're going to be the team of the day, the team of the week, team of the year, whatever the case may be. And your coach is going to be looked at. I don't think there's any – there's nothing new with that. We have to report that. If you, same thing with Cal. St. Louis is reporting, there are several outlets saying that Cal could be up for the St. Louis Cardinals pitching coaching job. We're supposed to look the other way on that. There are several people saying that Matt Campbell is going to be the next big coach out there that people haven't heard of but should hear about. Are we supposed to look the other way on that?
319-366-1600. That's our phone line. And our Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line, Hertzien and Stocker, located in downtown Iowa City. Or you can visit them online, HertzienandStockerJewelers.com. 0497, until Iowa State is a powerhouse, it will always be a place for a coach to build their resume. I don't know if I disagree with that. I mean it's been one of the coaches that Campbell's bring back this week, Johnny Majors.
Exactly.
Had a terrific run at Iowa State, albeit kind of short, but then he used that as a springboard to Tennessee. Dan McCarney also back. It didn't work out so well for him. He ended up at North Texas, but maybe the same can be said of Matt Campbell here this year, next year, you know, 3-4 years from now. I don't know.
319-366-1600. And again, if you're wondering where Cal Eldred is, he has been called into a meeting with the Kansas City Royals and is going to be with us on Thursday. So we will talk with Cal coming up on Thursday. World Series gets underway tonight. By the way, what do you like, the Astros or the Dodgers? What do you think? It's going to be 98 degrees, nearly 100 degrees to get this World Series started.
I kind of favor the team that has the home field advantage, and that would be the Dodgers. But I've gone back and forth talking to Alex Kuhn before the show in the sports office. You know, you talk all you want about Kershaw, and justifiably so for the Dodgers, but Keuchel and Verlander aren't a bad 1-2 either for the
Especially
Astros.
Especially Verlander, so, the way he's been pitching as of late.
So it's going to come down to who can win on the road. And we shall see.
Yeah, I tend to think that the Dodgers have been awful tough. And if they get the hitting they did at the end of that Cubs series, I think the Dodgers are going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have fun listening and watching Jose Altuve.
I do every time I see him.
Oh, he is just amazing out there. 319-366-1600. And Jason in Iowa City wants to comment about Matt Campbell and the rumors swirling about as far as the Iowa State football coach. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Awesome. Oh, hey, you hear these rumors all the time. You know, I'm an Iowa State fan, and I think the frustrating part about Kirk Herbstreit's tweets is that it just seems so unnecessary. You know, he doesn't say anything like, hey, Matt Campbell's a great coach. You know, he's rising in the ranks. He's doing great at Iowa State. It's no, he's gone, you know, basically saying Iowa State's a graveyard. You can never win there, which I don't think is true. Granted, we haven't been good forever, but, you know, we have facilities. We have put resources into it. So I think that's where the frustration's coming from in the fan base from that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're kind of reading between the lines, is what you're saying right there. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that
pretty much?
Is that?
It seems like because he responded back to, no, he's basically saying I've got inside information. He's gone. Like he already knows something, which he doesn't. There's no way he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. At this point, even a team like Ole Miss that has a coaching opening officially at this point, they're not going to do anything on officially. To in the middle of the season to extend a contract, to extend the job offer, you just don't do that. Plus, the common courtesy to Iowa State to not even have that.
I thought Campbell's response in that what he said was he thought it was disrespectful to Iowa State was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So
appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason. Jason in Iowa City joining us. 319-366-1600. And yeah, you can read between the lines saying that Iowa State is not the end point for a coach like that. Maybe it is for Matt Campbell. Who knows? When he brought his Toledo team a few years ago over to Ames, and he's told his wife, and this is a story that's been told 100 times, that I can see myself in this situation. Well, he's now in this situation. Can he see himself in a different situation? I don't know. I guess that's up to Matt Campbell, and that's up to the young Campbell family.
A lot of coaches have said that. You just don't know how sincere they are. And I'm not saying Matt Campbell's not sincere, but you hear that from a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
Now, to me, how long is this going to last? It's either going to heat up or cool down, one of the two.
Oh, it's going to get to a boiling point if Iowa State pulls off an upset
absolutely.
Saturday.
Absolutely. If Iowa State beats TCU and pulls
you
into
ain't
a tie,
seen nothing yet.
Tie for the Big 12 lead. This is obviously just beginning. But should Iowa State lose to TCU, it still has to go to West Virginia, still has to host a very good Oklahoma State team, still has to go to K-State. I mean, the book is not, the last chapter has not been written in this book for 2017. But right now, it's pretty sizzling, and we'll see what happens Saturday afternoon, whether it gets ratcheted up a little bit more.
319-366-1600. like to comment a few more minutes here. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman from Big 12 Basketball Media Days. We'll be doing that coming up here in just a little bit.
8092 on the text line. Isn't it way too early to be talking about him going to a better team or a different team? First of all, he hasn't won anything yet, and he's never beaten Iowa. Is that the measuring stick for the Iowa State football coach?
If you go 11-1 and win the Big 12, I don't think, you know, fill-in-the-blank university is going to worry about the fact that he hasn't beaten Iowa at this point.
48-15, as a Hawk fan, I really like Matt Campbell and hope he stays around for a while. Would make the rivalry even better throughout the years.
I agree.
Ryan in Walford, Iowa State is the place if you can sustain an average of 7 or 8 wins per year for 15 years. You'll get a statue and have job security. The grass isn't always greener. Just ask Gene Chizik.
Just ask Brett Bielema. Just ask, you know, fill in the blank at this point. Interesting. 319-366-1600 here at 324.
Yeah, if you win 7 or 8 a year at Iowa State, that's going to be okay for a while, but then aren't Iowa State fans going to want to take that next step? Aren't they going to want Big 12 championships?
Darn right.
Yeah.
You're darn right.
And it's not fan bases are ever satisfied.
Yeah, and it's not a knock against the Iowa State fan base. Great examples, Tom Davis. Men's basketball at the University of Iowa. All he did was win 20 games each and every year. All he did was go to the NCAA tournament every year. All he did was win the first round game in the NCAA tournament every year. Oh, by the way,
we can do better.
We can do better. We can do better. That didn't work out very brilliantly out there. So, you know, and I heard a call last night on the Cyclone Call-In Show, and usually the calls aren't the greatest. I'm going to be the first one, and if you've listened to the program, you would probably ascertain that yourself. But there was a very intelligent call last night, and it dealt with... Oh, shoot, and now I've just forgotten my entire train of thought, Mark, about it. I'll come up with it.
You're already thinking about BNA tomorrow?
No, I'm not thinking of BNA or basketball or whatever the case may be. I'll get it. It'll come back to me. But it was a very good call about this particular situation that Iowa State is going through. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. He was around. It's a man that was an Iowa State fan when Johnny Majors was there.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like you said, he said that this whole situation right now is almost a spitting image of Johnny Majors. And Johnny Majors, he had the decision if he was going to stay in Ames or if he was going to go big. He went big. He left and has turned into had a very, very good, very, very good career for himself.
Earl Bruce was another one.
Earl Bruce was right there.
Successful at Iowa State.
Johnny Major's staff had Jimmy Johnson on it, had all these great
Jackie
coaches
that
no one had heard of at this point, and they all went on to have great, great success.
Earl Bruce, successful at Iowa State, and as soon as Woody Hayes punched Charlie Baumann along the sidelines, Bruce is going to be rumored for that job because he's an Ohio State guy, and he got it.
There you go. 319-366-1600. At 327, if you'd like to comment, we'll talk to Kevin Lehman in a bit.
8092, hey guys, I didn't mean he had to beat Iowa, but he hasn't, I'm sorry,
your train of thought gone either?
No, it's my, the texts are coming in and all this, you know, when it does that, it pushes everything down. But hey guys, I didn't mean he had to beat Iowa, but he hasn't played or beaten anybody outside the Big 12 like a Power 5 conference, like the Big 10 or the SEC. Maybe he'll get a chance in a bowl game.
Could be true.
21-34. This was tongue-in-cheek, but how? Now it might be a good time for Campbell to leave. Harbaugh may be available.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. That's another degree of the media getting on you. Jim Harbaugh is under a microscope. I think it's so funny because this is what Michigan wanted. This is the guy. They tripped over themselves to bring him in here, and he lost 10 starters on the defensive side of the ball. They were okay offensively, but they're so young. They had 8 draft choices or something like that, and people expect him to go 11-1, 12-0 again. It's, oh my gosh, expectations just over the roof.
1288. Any idea what Campbell's buyout is? I heard it's 10 to 15 million.
We talked about this yesterday,
yes. And I'd refer you to Chris Williams of CycloneFanatic.com, which is my source for the information. And should someone come in at the end of the year, some school come in at the end of the year, they're going to have to fork over $9.3 million within 45 days of the transaction.
Yeah. So it's going to cost an institution.
That's this year. Yeah.
It's going to cost an institution if they want to bring him in. 3:29 here on the program. Before we get to a break here, Kevin Lehman's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk some college basketball. And again, Cal Eldred will stop by on Thursday of this week, and talk some World Series. Game one coming up tonight. I like the Dodgers. You like the Dodgers? You going to go with the Dodgers officially?
Leaning towards the Dodgers, yeah.
I think this thing could go seven. I really do. This thing's got seven all over it.
I just like the back end of the Dodgers bullpen, too.
They're very tough. They're very tough. Corey Seager, by the way, back on the roster for the L.A. Dodgers. No Curtis Granderson. Maybe that was because he got the golden sombrero in one of those games against the Cubs.
Wasn't really a tough out, was he?
No, he was not. No, he was not. Terrible news coming down just moments ago. Award-winning actor, Emmy winner, Robert Guillaume, passing away at the age of 89. Do you know his most famous role, Mark Dukes?
I do not.
Benson.
Oh,
Benson,
okay.
The butler on his own show, which was a spinoff of, I think, maybe the most underrated television show of all time, and that was Soap.
That's pretty good.
It was a great show, years ahead of its time, and I think they could bring Soap back today, and I think it would do well. I really do.
Yeah.
That was a great show. And he started there as Benson and got his own show, and passing away today at the age of 89. He was a tremendous, tremendous actor. Hate to bring everybody down. We'll bring you back up with Kevin Lehman. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM. Back with more after this.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertine and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
The Home Depot now has LifeProof vinyl plank flooring starting at just $279 a square foot. The warm look of wood flooring with a surface that's tough, scratch-resistant, and completely 100% waterproof. So, if life brings you things that scratch or things that spill, you'll be completely 100% worry-proof. And that is a beautiful feeling. LifeProof vinyl plank flooring starting at only $279 a square foot. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, or doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss...
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper!
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo!
Sorry, Finey. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling to some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some at your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it!
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave!
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you at 3:34. Gym Class coming your way for a Tuesday here at KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, Chris Liss of rotowire.com will be joining us. And we're going to be talking with Brian Estridge tomorrow as well. He is the play-by-play voice, I believe, of TCU. Mm-hmm. We've had Brian on before, and the Horned Frogs and Iowa State coming up on Saturday, 12:30 is pregame, 1600 a.m. We will have that for you, and 2:35 with the kickoff, and that should be a dandy football game.
Is that the only team in the country nicknamed the Horned Frogs?
Think so.
I can't think of another one.
As far as I know.
It's kind of immaterial, but I...
You know, the Horned Frog, by the way, spits blood from its eye.
What? Is this a Halloween tale or what?
No. I know about that stuff. Because they had one on the game day set a couple weeks ago that Lee Corso was handling, and they said be careful, because that's what it does.
When it gets upset or what? Or routinely?
No, I think when they get upset or they feel threatened or something like that. I don't know. TCU is going to be pretty darn good in basketball, too. And speaking of Big 12.
Now, Animal Planet with Scott Unash is coming up.
The Big 12. We're going to go to Media Day right now. Kevin Lehman joining us, our college basketball friend and expert here on the program. And you know all about Horned Frogs, right?
Well, Scott, I thought I was on the wrong channel. I was hearing about frogs spitting blood through their eyelids.
Hey, you learn something new every day on the old Gym Class program, don't you?
Well, you know, I just put some notes down next to the TCU basketball team about their mascot, the Horned Frogs. I'll use that on air someday.
There you go. There you go.
Kevin, good talking to you again. What have you learned so far about the Iowa basketball program?
About the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Yeah.
Well, they are deep and talented, guys. You know, I watched them practice. I'm actually going to call their games in the Cayman Island Classic, where Cincinnati's also the other team there in that South Dakota State, and it's a very good field. And even down here at Big 12, I had a couple guys ask me about the Hawkeyes. Fran Franchella, he says, I want to get and watch them practice. He's heard so much about them with the depth and the size and the length and the skill level that Fran Caffrey has assembled there in Iowa City. A lot of buzz about the Hawks. And then I see in the top 25, they're not even getting votes, guys. It's still a mystery to me how this team is so under the radar.
Well, with that in mind, even in the unofficial media poll, picked eighth. I thought fourth or fifth, maybe sixth on the outside, but they haven't tabbed at eighth.
Yeah, that will also surprise you. But when you get in that second group, I said before, I got Michigan State and Purdue probably as one and two. And then I got that group of six with Iowa as part of that. Minnesota, the newcomers to the top of the Big Ten. And, of course, Northwestern Wildcats. There's two new programs that are moving forward. But I like Michigan. You can never count Wisconsin out. They're always going to be solid. Maryland's got some good players back, and I got Iowa in that group, too. I think any of those six could make a run at second, third, or fourth in this league, including the Hawkeyes. It kind of depends on how that schedule goes in the Big Ten, because you have an unbalanced schedule. So who do you play at home, who do you got on the road, et cetera, and how those split up on your one-play games.
Kevin, would you agree that the one guy Iowa could not afford to lose for any length of time is Bohannon?
I'm with you on that one, Mark. And I asked Fran McCaffrey at the media day for Iowa about the backup point guard position, and he got kind of terse with me. He said, we're not worried about that. I got two good guys in there talking about Christian Williams, who was playing well. I even asked him afterwards how that position was shaping up, and they feel pretty good about the way that he's developed. And it gives you a great compliment because he's at 6'6", and you got Bohannon, the shooter can play some off guard too. So I think that position, I agree with you, Bohannon may be the guy that is the one that they can't lose, more because of his moxie and toughness and ability to shoot the three ball. And I don't know how well they're going to be able to shoot the three ball this year. That may be one thing that holds them back. We got to see how Brady Ellison, if he can get loose and knock those down, and what's Isaiah Moss, what's his game going to look like this mm-hmm. year?
Of course, the big thing going into Iowa's season is distribution of minutes and how that is going to take place. There were times last year when Fran kind of did a, okay, who are we playing tonight sort of situation, and kind of went through his lineup based on that and his substitution pattern based on that. Do you see that continuing a little bit, or is he going to use the preseason to maybe knock it down a little bit? I don't think anybody knows at this point.
Well, Scott, it's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is.
Rather have too much depth than not enough. And when you talk to Fran, he says, I don't script those minutes. It's based on how they perform in the game, in the practice, first of all, and in the game. And think about the depth that they have, how much more quality their practice time is going to be, and the way they can improve and develop in practice, because it's so competitive for minutes. But at some point, I think you got to get that down to maybe a nine-man rotation. I think he tried to go 10-11 last year. We'll see if he does that again. But really, in this non-conference, he's going to have to give everybody good looks, because there is some talent and some depth there. Let's see who the cream rises at the top. And also, what combinations work best together? That's going to be a big point with Coach McCaffrey as his team moves forward.
I think Fran is still wrestling with this one, but I'll ask you, Kevin. Do you think Nick Bear is better served in a starting lineup or off the bench?
That is a great question, Mark. A great question. I think you've got to be around practice and see how those others develop, because the thing about Nicholas Bear is you can bring him off the bench and he's not going to pout. He's going to bring you energy. So sometimes you make that decision based on, hey, do I need to start this guy because he's not as good coming off the bench? You may see Nicholas Bear come off the bench again just because of that factor that you got to give someone else confidence, give him that starting spot. Because Nicholas Bear has such a small ego, he's going to do whatever he needs to help that team win. Therefore, he'll really embrace that role of coming off the bench as a sixth man. Big Ten sixth man of the year last year. Boy, do you move him out of that spot? I'd keep him there for right now.
I think I would, too. I just think he's better suited being that six-man, little bit of instant energy coming off the bench. Watching that team last year, that's what he was great at.
Yeah, Scott, what else he does, though, you can bring him in as a defender. You can bring him in as a rebounder. He's going to get loose balls. He's going to knock down threes. So the fact that he can do every facet of the game really makes him valuable as that bench role player.
Is the hype over Garza and Nunji arriving justified?
You know, I watched him this summer. I really thought the biggest splash was going to be Jack Nunji, because at 6'11", the skill level that he has. But as this thing has developed, it's been Luka Garza inside, because he can protect the rim. He can score left or right. And at Media Day, I asked Tyler Cook, I asked Jack Nunji, I asked the big post players, who do you least like to play against? Or let me word it a different way. Who do you want to play one-on-one against to make yourself better? And almost all of them talked about going against Nunji or Luka Garza in that situation, because he is so difficult to stop. He can score by making physical contact and finish with either hand, and he's what we call a repeat jumper. He's up around the basketball all the time. This guy can rebound the ball in traffic at both the offense and defensive end. And those are some things that you don't teach players to do. They have a natural knack to do it. And Luka Garza has it. I think he's going to be the bigger splash.
Kevin Lehman joining us from Kansas City, Big 12 Media Day today. And Kevin, let's get right into the Big 12. You're going to see Kansas. If you haven't seen them already, you're going to see them coming up in just a little bit of practice. But I think the big story, Iowa State picked by some to finish ninth, a few to finish 10th. I don't know. What do you think about that? What's Steve Prohm think about that?
Well, in the preseason picks, no Iowa State team or Iowa State member was picked for any of those, even in the honorable mention column. So they're not getting a lot of respect. Donovan Jackson is not Solomon Young, Nick Weiler-Babb. I talked quite a bit to Steve Prohm today, and I think a key for them is that backcourt. He really likes Lindell Wigginton, Donovan Jackson, and Nick Weiler-Babb, and the fact that all three could play the point guard position, all three could start the offense. The key, he's telling me, is they've got to be able to understand playing together. If one has the ball, the other two have to become the wings. And that's what they're working on right now. He thinks if they can really get that going, their running game will be very solid because they have so much speed at that position. But, guys, we talk about that all the time. That fourth man position is a big mystery for the Cyclones right now because of the transfer from Princeton. Brace is still out with a knee injury. He's practicing a little bit just in half court. They've talked a lot about Tally being a four-man if they go small. I think that position, to me, is really the one that's up in the air for the Cyclones. Who's going to fill that spot?
Is it going to be a different-looking team this year in any respect, Kevin?
Well, I think it's got to be when you graduate the guys that they did, the great three-point shooters that they had. We forget about Matt Thomas, how well he shot it. Azmitru Long, Monte Morris, the all-Big 12 guard. They were the team that really shot the three ball well. This is going to be a basketball team for Iowa State. I think they'll be really good in transition, but if you can slow them down and make them play in a half court, they're going to struggle a little bit in that aspect because they don't shoot the three balls well. They're going to be a team that's going to try to attack the rim, which they feel they can do in the open court, Mark, but can they do that against a set half court defense? That's one of the most difficult things to do in college basketball. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the challenge for the Cyclones.
Bill Self's Kansas Jayhawks, you'll see them coming up a little bit later on today. Heavy favorite again to win, what, umpteenth straight Big 12 championship?
Number 14. Isn't that amazing? In a league, that's pretty talented.
Yeah. I think that's the most underrated stat in college sports right now, or maybe unheralded stat in college sports right now, the streak they have winning regular season championships.
Well, in modern-day basketball, Scott, I agree with you 100%. If you go back to UCLA, I think they've tied UCLA, and this may be the year they can move past them for consecutive conference championships. But that was a different era when John Wooden was doing that in the 60s and 70s. So in modern basketball, with the amount of talent, the transfers that go on, the parity in college basketball, I agree with you. That is just an amazing feat. And I would say West Virginia's got a shot at it. Other than that, Kansas is heavily favored again.
You spent a lot of time around the Missouri Valley, Kevin, and you and I favored to win the league. Wichita State long gone, but I guess your overall thoughts on Northern Iowa right now.
There's a lot of talk about being older as a team, even among these Big 12 members, is having guys stay around because of the one and done, having guys in your program for 4 years, establish your culture. Even if they're fifth-year guys. And I think that's what Ben Jacobson has done. He always has a old team. Now, last year, not so much with Jeremy Morgan, one senior, and Jordan Ashton, the other senior. But this year, you know, he's got two front-line guys that are fifth-year seniors in Bennett Cook and Clint Carlson. I think that bodes really well for them. That point guard position, I think with Lohaus coming back, is going to make that more solid for him. And I think it's a key is Juwan McLeod's got a big year for him. And I think Austin Fife's going to be a huge help for this Panther team. You know, Wichita State gone, I think that really opens this league up. I like Missouri State. I like Northern Iowa. And I think Loyola's going to be another good squad in the Valley.
Well, they were actually the media poll that just came out today. Missouri State was one, UNI two, and Loyola three ahead of Illinois State. And don't forget about Valpo. Don't sleep on the Crusaders because they're going to want to make a very good impression, I think, in this first year.
Well, they've got some size now. Tavon Walker's our guard. And if you look at the Valley, the teams that have won the Valley have had great guard play. You go back to Fred Van Fleet, go back to Wes Washburn, even back to Brooks McCowan, to Joe Legba. You got to have a great point guard in that league. And that's why I talked about the Panthers have to develop that position. And you see that out of Loyola, and you see that out of this Valpo team. So those two teams are going to be reckoned with. Come Missouri State, Alize Johnson, preseason player of the year. He's got a meniscus tear. He may not play until conference season starts. So Missouri State may get off to a slow start. Don't let that surprise you.
I think this is a very talented Bears team that Paul Lusk has.
How about Drake? They started to make some inroads last year. New coaching staff, their first complete year. And I know they're picked at the bottom again in the Missouri Valley, but that may just be more of a, well, somebody's got to be on the bottom. But is there light at the end of the tunnel for the Bulldogs?
Well, it's going to take a while, Scott, because they have to put a new culture in. And here's one of the issues they're dealing with. They don't have much of a front line. This is going to be a four-guard lineup. I've watched them practice. They're really small. Other than Casey Slaughter, they really don't have a four-man. You're going to see them play with 6'3", 6'4", at that four spot. You know, they've got Iowa in the Hy-Vee Big Four Classic. They're going to try and match up with Iowa size with four guards. That's one of the battles that Drake's going to have this year. It's going to be really undersized, so rebounding is going to be an issue with them. Reed Timmer, picked for first-team preseason All-Valley. They're solid in the backcourt, but I'm concerned about their lack of size. And then they also have five seniors, so next year they're going to be a really young team. They got two freshman guards that I watched play that are really talented guards, so they're going the right direction. They just got to keep – it's going to take them a while to recruit and get their talent level back to where they need it in the Missouri Valley.
Do you need an attaché for that trip to the Cayman Islands, Kevin?
I tell you what, it is not easy to get there, Mark, and it's even harder to get back on Thanksgiving Day.
Ah.
I think I can manage that, though.
Hey, Kevin, you have
There's going to be a lot of Hawk fans down there, so it's going to be it should be a good tournament. As I said, Cincinnati's on the other bracket, and the other team is getting ranked heavily in the top 12. So it's going to be a really good test for this Iowa Hawkeye team, as we keep saying this, under the radar. This may be their coming out party at the Cayman Island Classic.
Speaking of under the radar, have you pegged one or two teams that you think nationally folks ought to watch out for?
I think this is as tough a year as any to try to predict who your Final Four is going to be. A lot of talk about Michigan State because of what they have coming back. You almost see Kansas here in a couple minutes, but even Bill Self will tell you, he's concerned. He does not have frontline depth. Hey, guys, Wichita State, that's the big sleeper team to make a Final Four run. We'll see if this new league really helps him. Hopefully it'll help him get a better seed. That was one of the issues that the Shockers had with the Valley. They kept getting those high seeds, and it wasn't helping them in the tournament. But they're getting a lot of respect this year. Of course, you got to always look at Duke, guys. They're always loading up.
Yeah, they're going to be very good, and I think it's going to be a good season once we get on the hardwood. Of course, the elephant in the room is everything going on with the federal investigations. Rick Pitino, his ouster at Louisville. I know Bill Self today said he has no idea of anything that is pointed in Kansas's direction or anything like that. And this is not good for college basketball, Kevin, right now. But taking a look at 5-10 years down the road, how do you see college basketball then? Will this help to make it better, clean it up a little bit?
Well, as Bob Huggins said, you know, what disappoints him is everyone gets painted with the same brush, and there's just a few guys doing this. Most of this game is clean. Here's what's interesting about the Big 12 media day today. Oklahoma State, who had an assistant involved in this Adidas pay-for-play or funnel money to players, the entire time Mike Boynton, the new head coach, sitting next to him is their director of communications. They would not take any questions regarding this investigation because the Justice Department and the FBI is telling them they cannot answer any questions. They cannot do any internal investigation. It's all going to be done by the FBI and the Justice Department. So we saw a little bit right here at the Sprint Center because there was a guy by Mike Boynton's side at all times to divert off any questions about this investigation.
Interesting. Well, we got exhibition games coming up. Missouri, Kansas played, and apparently to great success. Now we can just get into playing the regular season. UNI is going to play Wisconsin now on November 1st. They've just organized that for, I think, hurricane relief going on. That's going to be up at the Kohl Center. So this is kind of a neat little thing that college basketball teams are starting to do.
Scott, Missouri, Kansas,
$1.8 million
yep.
was raised at that game. The Sprint Center, they said, had more people than any other basketball contest because there was no cheerleaders, there was no media, it was streamed on television. So all those seats were given to fans, and it was like the Texas-Oklahoma game. It was split down the middle. So one half of the Sprint Center was Missouri Old Gold. The other half was Jayhawk Red and Blue. It was they're still talking about it down here. It was an outstanding event. Now, Bill Self has come out publicly. He says, we're not going to play Missouri in the regular season. But we'll see if this continues because Missouri wants this so bad. And they're resurrecting their program, guys. No, that's where Iowa State goes their opening game. They have to go to Missouri and play at Missouri. So this is a Missouri team that's getting a lot of buzz right now because of what Quanzo Martin has brought in for recruits.
Michael Porter.
Porter and his brother obviously got eligible in 3 years of high school.
Yeah. Yep. Mizzou and Iowa State's going to be a fun opener. Tough one.
Former Lisa Becker, their mom.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. A lot of ties to that game.
Kevin, look forward to talking with you this winter, but enjoy Big 12 Media Day, the rest of it, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
It's my pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Kevin Lehman talking some college hoops with us here. Exhibition games getting underway this week. I think Iowa plays Friday night, believe it or not, in an exhibition game. So we got hockey, we got basketball, we got baseball, we got football, we got everything going on right now.
Speaking of baseball, poll question today, KGYMradio.com. What will the outcome of this year's World Series be? Several options. Houston sweeps, L.A. sweeps, Houston or L.A. in 5 or 6, Houston or L.A. in 7. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
We'll take a break, come back, and wrap her up after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need auto parts? Get them with a click at the new O'ReillyAuto.com. Shop online and we'll ship the order to your home or you can pick it up for free at the O'Reilly Auto Parts store nearest you. The choice is yours. Shop the way that's convenient for you and get the exact parts you need to get the job done right. O'ReillyAuto.com. Parts for your car wherever you are.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, are you stealing from the vending machine?
No, Mr. Employee of the Month.
Well, your desk is littered with, like, hundreds of snacks.
I merely exposed a loophole by reaching my arm through the flap thingy. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Yes.
Granola bar?
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Back with you in the last couple moments here of the Gym Class program. And a reminder, the gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, let us help get the word out. Submit your information prior to the event, and we'll feature it here at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP to get things started here. And poll question again, Mark.
What will the outcome of this year's World Series be? Will it be either team sweeps, either team in 5 or 6, or either team in 7. 6 choices there.
All right, let's go to Jim in Volga. He wants to talk about Matt Campbell. We were talking about that earlier on the program. The podcast will be available coming up in a little bit. Hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing real well. Thank you.
You bet.
Just a comment about the situation down at Ames. Isn't it nice to finally be in a position like this.
Yes.
With what's going on here over the last several years with the football situation, I definitely hope, Coach Campbell can stay right at Ames and continue to build that program. But, you know, we're almost in uncharted waters in the new era of Iowa State football.
Yeah.
And, to me, this is a great thing. If this individual is wanted, I hope we can keep him. But we look at the basketball side of thing with Tim Floyd a number of years ago and Fred Hoiberg not too long ago on the basketball side. We've endured this, and I think we have to remember on the football side, there's only a few elite programs in the nation, and I still don't think there's any problem with being satisfied with 7 or 8 wins and occasionally, you know, fighting for that Big 12 championship, which I think Coach Campbell and his group can do.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. We're all out of time. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next.
This week, tune into the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.